The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And it's always a pleasure to be with you when the guys are away. Red Eye Radio, all across America. In just a little bit, I'll tell you how to listen live if you'd like to do that. If you're looking for me during the week, you can find me doing the afternoon drive 2 to 5 on News Talk 820 WBAP out of Dallas-Fort Worth. I want to give a shout-out to some of the stations that I've spent some time in, and some of you listening all over the country may know these stations. KHOW in Denver, Colorado. KCMO in Kansas City. Of course, the great station KFMB. I spent 16 and a half years there in San Diego. And, of course, now at WBAP in Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, I must tell you that, and by the way, I'm off until the 3rd. That's why I was able to come over for Gary and Eric. But after the 3rd, I'll be back in my normal slot, 2 to 5 Central Time in the afternoon. You know, I was watching the news, as most of you do. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily an epiphany. It was just a realization. I mean, a very hard, cold realization of just how badly we're being played by a government that's supposed to be working for us. You know, I was watching even Fox to some degree. You know, I watch CNN and MSNBC and headline news. I watch it all because that's my business, and I have to immerse myself in that every day. But even Fox, you know, they throw something out there like Democrat said this, Republican said this. Let's go to our panel of experts. Well, who said they're experts? They're just going to talk on one particular issue. But this affects, and if you're a Democrat, this affects you just as much as it affects me. I mean, we live on the same block, in the same city, in the same county, in some cases work in the same offices or cubicles or job sites. Aren't you sick and tired of getting played by your government? I know I am. Now, I said the other night, we are at a very critical juncture in this nation's history. Democrats are no longer the Democrats of old. They're leaning towards socialism. Maybe they don't even believe in socialism to that degree, but they know they keep their seat at the table of power by doing so, the far left. You know, and Republicans, look, nobody's 100% right 100% of the time, and that includes you. I mean, you've had plenty of opportunity to do a lot of different things on behalf of the American people, but you don't do it. I mean, this whole wall thing and the government shutting down and all of this, you know, it, like I said, it wasn't an epiphany. It was just sort of like stepping out of the shower and the air conditioner's on in the house. It's just kind of a cold feeling that washes over you. We're all getting played. This is all phony baloney stuff. I mean, it truly is. It's political posturing on the Democrat side, and certainly to some degree, at some level, it's political posturing on the Republican side. Now, the wall, $5 billion, you know, a politician sneezes in the nation's capital and they spend more than $5 billion. You know, the whole illegal immigration thing, you know, we stand back and we're aghast. I can't believe the Democrats are doing that. I can't believe that. Okay, well, then why the hell didn't the Republicans do something when they had the majority? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm just getting sick and tired of being played like a cheap pawn shop guitar. And then we end up funding all of their grand adventures. You look at Ocasio-Cortez. You know, this, with all due respect to this woman, it's nothing personal. She doesn't have a clue what time it is or what day it is. And they're talking about, yeah, she's going to be the front leader for the party. Why? You know, Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke. You know, this guy, just like Obama, was a nobody. And all of a sudden now he's the media darling. You know, that guy may be running for president. The polls show they like him a lot. Well, they like open borders. They like abortion on demand. Hey, let's get a drive-through. Now serving number 36, drive-through, get your abortion, be on your way. Don't even have to get out of the car. I mean, do you see what's wrong with America? Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, at some level, we're all being played. And I, for one, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I could go on the air every single day and just hammer the Democrats from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. But does it solve anything? Is it about the issues? Like I said, Republicans had the majority for a long, long time. Why are we just broaching the topic now? I'll tell you why. Political leverage on both sides. Political leverage. It's called playing the American people to separate them from their disposable vote. That's what it is. You know, all this teeth gnashing and hand-wringing over government shutdowns and Chucky Schumer, I can't believe this and I can't believe that, and only, you know, somebody out of control throwing the country into chaos. Shut up! You said exactly the same thing 9 years ago. So, what do you think, we're stupid? Do you think our memories just, well, we learn something one day and forget it the next? You're all a bunch of political prostitutes. You'll do anything for a vote, including ripping the security, sanctity, and sovereignty of a nation away from a people. Do you see how bad this has become? Government is supposed to be there, working, yes, from different angles, but when the dust settles at the end of the day, and they go into their recess, something most of us haven't done since we were in elementary school, when they go into recess, supposedly, we're all supposed to be served. I haven't been served by government, and I can't tell you how long. You know, we finally get a guy in there, Donald Trump, has done a lot of things. Media won't report on it. Why? Because they're trying to play you to make you think Republicans bad, Democrats good. Very, very seldom. Very seldom. Is that true with anything in life? Everybody's got their skeletons and everybody's got their scars, and you know that. But what I'm truly concerned about, it's not about Republicans and Democrats anymore. It's about Republicans and socialists. You know, you can expect to hear the words free and the words guaranteed and the term for all a whole lot more as this new year opens up. Democrats have already prepared this huge arsenal of big government bills that would actually see a floor vote when they take control of the House. We're talking free stuff we're talking a Bernie Sanders restaurant menu, free Medicare, free health care, free school, free guaranteed income, guaranteed jobs, Medicare for all. That's not democratic, that's socialist. And somebody's got to pay for it, right? And I'm sorry, I'm getting sick and tired of the working men and women carrying this political theater on their back. And that's exactly what it is. It's political theater. This whole wall thing and, oh my gosh, the government shut down. Oh, this is Trump shut down. This is so... I don't care. It's all political theater. Nothing is happening that we can't come back from with a government shutdown. Pelosi, no, well, the wall is immoral. I mean, honestly, before anyone is elected again in the new year, that includes the Speaker of the House, they need to have a psychological profile done, and might want to go ahead and do a drug test. I mean, aren't you tired? If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, if you're apolitical, aren't you sick and tired of paying for this political theater when you don't even have a seat in the auditorium? You know, dozens of measures like this that have been languishing, they say, with Republicans at the helm. You'd have Medicare, you'd have guaranteed income, you'd have jobs, you'd have free college, but the Republicans were in power. Now, what kind of moron buys that? Well, somebody's buying it. You know, with the GOP expanded majority in the Senate, you know, it's unlikely these measures are going to make it to Trump's desk, but their consideration on the House side would mark a first step in formally considering major government expansion. Is that what you want? I mean, truly, if it is, please tell me why. You want an expanded government? You want a government increased in size and scope? Well, Rick, if they're going to give me stuff, see, that's the problem. The American spirit has been pushed by the wayside. It's no longer about opportunity. It's no longer about us working hard, doing what we can, succeeding sometimes, failing sometimes. It's about we're all too big to fail as long as we're footing the bill for political theater. I mean, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, you know, shortly before the November elections, what did he say? He said the Democrats are moving toward clear socialism. His words, not mine. And he suggested Republicans need to make the case for unleashing the great powers of liberty and freedom. And I agree. You don't play politics with liberty and freedom. You hold it up as the last bastion for hardworking Americans that care about each other, that care about their country. We're benevolent to the point of almost hurting ourselves everywhere in the world. And all this stuff at the border, all these illegal immigrants, the border wall, the government shutdown. Are you buying any of this? Have you been lured into the political theater that you're paying for? I mean, I'm serious. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Rick Robertson for Gary and Eric, always a pleasure to be with you. I just, today, trying to prep for the show, I'd had it. It's like, how stupid does Washington, D.C. think the citizens of America are? This is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts with you. Always try to make it in when Gary McNamara and Eric Harley are away. And be with you today and tomorrow. And then again on New Year's Eve, we've got some fun stuff planned for you. So it should be a good time. It wasn't an epiphany. It was just the cold, hard truth hitting me in the face like a cold shower. I'm preparing for the show, and I'm watching all the news channels, as I usually do every day, because I have to, whether I want to or not, for what I do. I do the afternoon drive at WBAP. And I started thinking, wait a second. They've taken one little facet of the immigration thing, formed a panel to convene a study, to issue a paper, who's right and who's wrong. They're all wrong. I mean, thank God we've got Trump in the White House, a non-politician politician. Save for that, if Hillary were in or anybody else, we'd already be in socialism. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the American people paying for every knucklehead agenda that comes out of D.C. I'm sorry, Republican or Democrat. I mean, do you realize that you are in the fight for your country's very existence? And I don't think I'm embellishing. I don't think I'm overstating the difference between what we have had, which is not perfect. I get that. But it's also not socialism. Socialism. which is now being carried as a banner for the Democrat Party. Aren't you tired of footing the bill for this kind of political theater? The government shut down. We're going to build a wall. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's all political theater. Do we need a wall? Yeah, we should have had one. Work on a wall, a barrier, a fence, call it what you want, should have started about 30 minutes after the second tower fell on 9/11. You know, we realize we're no longer an island unto ourselves. Republicans had plenty of time to deal with this. Republicans couldn't get out of their own way. Well, don't want to make anybody mad. Yes, it's my way or the highway. Amen. You know, that pontificating from on high doesn't work anymore. The same reason that people elected Donald Trump to run this thing is the same reason that they've had it. They're done. They're sick of your political theater. They're tired of your Chucky Schumers. They're tired of the Nancy Pelosi's. They're tired of some 29-year-old Democratic socialist that was bartending 6 months ago. They're sick and tired of a guy that's trying to convince the Hispanic community, oh, no, really, I'm Hispanic. You can call me Beto. Even though he's Irish, his name's Robert Francis O'Rourke out of Texas. Let me get to your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Where are we going? Let's go to Rick in Los Angeles. Rick, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Rick?
I'm good. Belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from one Rick to another.
And the same to you, sir.
I totally understand your frustration. I think the wall, I know you don't want to talk about it too much anymore. You're kind of fed up with it. But it's kind of symbolic of what you're talking about. First of all, you nailed it. President Trump is all he's doing is fulfilling the sacred oath of the president, which is to secure and protect the United States of America, to secure your borders. It's in the Constitution. And some people on the left and probably even some on the right, they don't get that. They haven't read it. They don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? They think it.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep the government shut down until the wall is funded. I mean, really, what's going to happen? I get emails all the time. Well, my husband's furloughed now, but I realize there are individuals that are feeling this. But in the bigger picture of running the country, keep the thing shut down. I don't care, and most other Americans don't care.
Well, here's the thing. It's like you said. Do you want to still have a country? I mean, it's so symbolic. You've got on the left Democrats, which are now, you know, embracing socialism, apparently. They don't want the United States of America anymore. They want the United Nations of America. They want a government that is going to carry you from cradle to grave. It's going to become a third world country if they come in power. You'll have very wealthy people that will support. Forget the middle class. That's gone.
It will become a socialist nation. And the question is, what do you really want from your government? Now your national forecast brought to you by Cobra Electronics.
A powerful storm system has moved into the southwest after bringing notably colder temperatures to much of the west. Heavy snow and strong winds over the next day or two expected from the central plains northeast to the upper Great Lakes region. This will result in hazardous travel conditions over a widespread area with significant impacts to road and air travel. Snowfall amounts are likely to exceed 1 foot from areas of northern Nebraska through central and eastern South Dakota by Thursday night. The same storm system is now bringing heavy rain, damaging winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes to parts of the southern plains and lower Mississippi Valley. Temperatures across much of the Midwest will rise to as much as 15 to 25 degrees above normal, and the remainder of the country should be rather quiet and dry, but possible severe weather could hit the eastern U.S. by the end of the week. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Christopher, thank you very much. Your call straight ahead on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be with you when the guys are away. And, maybe it was an epiphany. I don't know. But as I look at the, we got 7,000 poor mothers and children at the border, and, oh, my God, we're going to keep the government shut down. Have you ever read much of Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson? His most fundamental political belief was limiting the federal government, what they called the general government back then. He believed that limiting the federal government flowed from the strict interpretation of the Constitution. He was absolutely scared to death that the government would increase in size and scope. As the author of the Declaration of Independence, he thought the national government should have a very, very limited role in size and scope, and certainly in power. What happened to that? Now we've got one of the two major political parties. They've already got the blueprints for increasing the federal government. Who in their right mind would do that? What do you want from your government? I want what the founding fathers wanted. Very limited size, very limited scope, very limited powers, and the bulk of it should rest with the states. Tim in Michigan. Tim, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing really well, sir. What a refreshing voice you are on the radio. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
My thought is, if you can't beat them at their own game. And here's my plan. We start a pack, and we call it the Truth in Mumbling Pack. And we collect donations, and we start publishing what their salaries, their total compensation packages are, and especially what's in their retirement accounts and their local state newspapers. Now, all we need to do is get one new senator or representative elected that would introduce a bill that says we're $30 billion in or $33 trillion in debt. We've spent ourselves into being a third world country. Why don't we take half of what's in each representative and senator's retirement account, cut it in half, and give it back? And if they don't go along with it, if they vote no, well, that sounds like graft and corruption under the RICO statutes, and there's got to be enough people out there that are willing to go after them and fund it all. And if that doesn't work, have the Attorney General of the United States go after them.
As I looked at this today, it's not the first time, but I saw this phony baloney stuff going on about the wall and the government shutdown. And I was reminded this is nothing more than political theater in hopes of separating people from their disposable vote for one party or the other. Now, Trump has done some monumental things in the last 2 years. You don't know about them because the mainstream press won't report them. They won't report anything that paints this administration in a positive light. You got to go search it out. You got to drill down for it. But as far as what's going on at the border, now we need to hold hearings because two children died while in Border Patrol custody. Do you know how many people? As a matter of fact, they've already called in the CDC. They're seeing illnesses and diseases they haven't ever seen because we eradicated them in the 50s and 60s, not so in Central America. How all of a sudden did that become our fault? It just makes no sense. No sense whatsoever.
But Mr. Roberts, you got to realize that you are the answer. Talk radio is the answer. Look in the mirror. We can get this thing spread nationwide. I consider myself very fortunate to have three personal friends on WJR in Detroit, Paul W. Smith, Frank Beckman, and Guy Gordon. And we're starting it here on a statewide level.
Well, it's got to come grassroots, because no government authority, no bureaucrat is going to do this. I can't even get a meaningful discussion about term limits, right? You know, I don't have politicians wrapped around my studio waiting to get on the air, and it's a very simple reason. I don't give them a soapbox. I ask the question that I would ask if I were sitting at the stoplight and had my station tuned in, or what I think you would want to ask. And they don't want that kind of forum. They want a soapbox where they can come in, read off their 3x5 card, yes, amen, thank you very much, Mr. Roberts. I don't do that. I've never done that. Well, maybe when I first started 20-some years ago, I might have done it. But I don't do that anymore. And the American people shouldn't accept that. You know, the very idea of what we're dealing with right now, with Democrats already with a blueprint, now that they're taking the majority in the House, they've already got a blueprint on free education, Medicare for all, guaranteed wages, blah, it goes on and on and on. You know, go back to the founding fathers, go back to the Constitution. Throughout his entire life, Jefferson was intensely interested in religious studies, morality. And the idea that he could reduce the size and the influence, the power, of the federal government. He believed the federal government had become too large and too powerful even in his day. Can you imagine what he would say today? Let's go to Mike in Los Angeles. Thank you for a good call. I appreciate it. Mike in Los Angeles, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Mike?
I am just angry as hell, and I'm not going to put up with it here, Rick. The state of California is spending $70 billion on a boondoggle trained by outgoing Governor Jerry Brown that we as taxpayers did not approve. $70 billion. This is just the starting point, Rick, the starting point of this train that will not even go from Los Angeles to San Francisco. This is just maybe a four-mile stretch of land acquisition right now, Rick. $70 billion. And our president, President Trump, is begging for a lousy $6 billion. This is the swamp. California, ground zero, right here. Jerry Brown and Pelosi and Boxer and all of our local politicians, why do they want this state, this country, to turn into Venezuela? I don't know. Is it power? Is it stupidity?
Maybe a combination of both, but that's a good question. How did Brown get elected again? Did he get elected because he got elected by people too young to remember what a loser he was the first time around?
That could be, and plus you have Arnold Schwarzenegger as the outgoing imbecile with a small R in front of his name. That could be, and this is just a dumb Democrat, and I'm a former lifelong Democrat, Rick, through 2008. I mean, I would pick and choose my positions, but this is what California has become, a Democrat. And I'm in Nevada. By next time this year, I will be a resident of Nevada. I've been in two auto accidents in 15 years, both by illegal aliens. And let's not use undocumented immigrants. It is in the Constitution. And if you look at the State of the Union speeches by former Presidents Obama and Clinton, they both talked about border security and to keep illegal aliens out of this country. We are the most generous country for immigration in the world, allowing 1 million legal immigrants into this country. Get in line, fellas, and become legal immigrants and pledge the oath to this country that you will not forsake this country for any allegiance to any other countries. And until they do that, to hell with them! To hell with them! This country must be their first pledge of alliance. And there should be a national language, Rick, in Canada. Is there a national language? Yes, French and English. And in Latin, the Latin American countries, national language, Spanish. Why can't English be a national language here, Rick?
Well, I'll tell you why, Mike, because we may offend someone. Someone may be offended. Someone may not like it. You know, I'm a pilot when I have time. And the default language anywhere you go on planet Earth for pilots is English. I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's language. It's culture. That's the glue. That's the sticky stuff that keeps us all together. You know, I've read the Constitution a time or two, and I'll be darned if I can find it. There is no constitutional right to not be offended. Did you know that? It's not in there. There's no constitutional right to not be offended. Today, I don't know what it was, but today it became so abundantly clear, politically speaking, the sanctity, the sovereignty, the security of a nation means nothing to these people. And I'm talking about politicians working in that bubble known as the nation's capital. Anything justifies the end. Even your security. Even your children's security. You know, they talk a good game, and you mentioned illegal aliens. Chuck Schumer is on tape, on record, as saying we shouldn't use terms like immigrant because it diminishes the seriousness of illegal immigration. He said it. Not Trump. Not anybody else. He said it. I'm so sick and tired of these guys driving on both sides of the road. Well, you know, if you go to D.C., just about every politician, left or right, look at their index finger. Generally the right one, because most people are right-handed. Look at their right index finger. It's all shriveled up like a five-year-old that played too long in the bathtub. You know what that's from? That's from wetting it in their mouth and sticking it in the political wind to see what they should do that day. We don't need people like that. They're not serving us. They're not serving the country. This is Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
And all across America, it's Red Eye Radio. I'm Rick Roberts. And anytime I can get away, I normally do afternoon drive from 2 to 5 Central Time on News Talk 820 WBAP. And if you want to listen over there, it's pretty easy. Simply go to WBAP.com. And when the guys are away, I try to get over here because I enjoy the show immensely. And we get to take a ton of calls. So, like I said, anytime I can get over here, I do it. Let's get to your calls right now. Let's go to, Alan. And, I'm not sure where Alan's calling from. Alan, where are you calling from?
Grafton, Iowa.
Good to have you. Thank you.
I listen out of WJI out of Detroit.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, Rick, what you're saying about the American people being played by congressional stage clown leaders, you're exactly right. And I love our president. If it wasn't for him, it'd be terrible. But anyway, there's one thing I don't understand, Rick, concerning this line in the sand.
Right.
Is why this line in the sand wasn't drawn 2 years ago in front of Mitch McConnell's office.
Or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 15 years ago. You got it, Alan. You've hit the nail on the head with such resounding force it echoes still in my ears. There was plenty of time to do it. Why didn't somebody do something? Well, Rick, you know, we couldn't get it. No, stop. Stop treating the American people like they're five-year-old petulant children. We're not. You know, granted, we were fat, happy, lazy, complacent, and sound asleep for a long time, but we're awake. And we're looking around. We don't like what we see. This immigration thing, this could have been handled how many years ago? But the real question is not what they want to do for you. What do you want from your government? What do you want from your government? Because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. They're going to assume that you want much more so they can increase in size and scope. Do not let them do that. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the country, now it's Red Eye Radio. This is Rick Roberts, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Always a pleasure to be in with the guys when they're away. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Well, as I was saying last hour, I'm just tired of getting played politically, aren't you? I mean, if you could change anything in government, well, I'd open the government back up. The government shut down. It'll be gone soon enough. That right now it's political posturing. It's political theater. Democrats are playing it on Trump. Trump's playing it on them. At the end of the day, nothing's going to happen anyway. It's a partial shutdown. The border wall. Will there be a wall? Will there won't be a wall? Is it a fence? Are they drones? Robots? A moat with alligators? Come on. At the end of the day, if there was any political will to deal with this immigration issue, it would have been done a long time ago. You play cards? I play cards, or did, quite often. Texas Hold'em tournaments. And sometimes when you're playing cards, you hold a card or two, depending on the game, depending on the people you're playing, how aggressive, whether it's a tournament and you buy in, after you bust, whatever it happens to be. All this was a card that everyone was holding to use for political purposes. We're all getting played. Do you see that? This the wall and the government shutdown, and it's all phony. There's no substance. It's a red herring. The only thing that I can say is that we have a lot more socialists in the Democratic Party than I once thought. Socialism now is the new watchword in the nation's capital. All right, let's go to Bob in Illinois. Bob, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, Rick. It's great to talk to you, and I just share your sentiments, but I'm more of a realist. The national debt's never going to get paid off. So then I analyzed back. I think we're heading to three major parties. You'll have like the Trotskyan communist cultural liberals, is what they are, in a modified way, led by a bunch of billionaires. And then you have the Trump people will be like your nationalistic, culturally conservative, quasi-capitalist socialists. And then you'll have your capitalist libertarians, kind of like you got enough money to buy your way in or out of whatever you can do, you do it.
Right, right.
And I think the problem now is that, as seen in the election, I think I could see Trump going left economically. One thing would be like wonder if you constitutionally quarantined to protect Medicare and Social Security, that has to be paid like government pensions, and just kind of carve out anything you can get out of the Democrat Party.
I don't know that you can get any. I don't know that you can get anything. But if I could ask you a question, Bob, you know, as a student of the founding fathers, and I learn something every time I read. It just amazes me how forward thinking these men were. But if I were to ask you, if I were to run into you at Starbucks and we pooled our resources so we could afford one cup of coffee, and I were to ask you, Bob, what do you want from your federal government? Not what they say you need, but what do you want from them?
I would like, one, common sense values restored. I think I would like a secure border. I would like, obviously, gradually to go to lower spending and taxes. I just don't see that happening, so that it might be a roundabout way, not as a crow flies. We might have to use some level of social, like in Illinois, the counter to the liberal Democrats isn't the Republicans, it's the conservative Democrats.
Right, right.
I mean, that's kind of where we're at now, unfortunately. And I don't see, and let's say the government starts, let's say 5 years from now, global investors say, geez, the United States isn't going to pay off its debt. So all of a sudden things that could run into a crisis, so who's ever in political power decides who gets the bankrupt assets.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any confidence in Congress?
No.
Do you know why?
Because it hasn't materialized.
Well, if I may, there's no longer confidence in Congress because it no longer works like the founding fathers intended for it to work. It's not even close. It can't work this way. You know, you watch the branches of government at work today. Did the founders design Congress to function as it's functioning today? No. Historically, the executive branch, the judicial branch of government, they were pretty much unchanged. It's the Congress that has morphed into something that has no resemblance of what the original framers had in mind. So what's changed? The founding fathers designed three branches of government that by their nature held a balance of authority to do what? Prevent any one branch from becoming too powerful. Their main focus was on restricting the executive branch from being another monarchy. They'd already dealt with that. They didn't want that. Americans had so recently fought this war over what? The monarchy. As a result, the framers in 1787, they invested most of the Constitutional Convention's time and more than at least half the document to debating and shaping the legislative branch. By contrast, the role of the president at that time was a whole lot less important. Article 2 of the Constitution defined the presidency as one person, a one-person office, requiring, I mean, let's be honest, pretty minimal qualifications to be elected by a detached body of electors spread across the entire country. This president would have specific roles, among them veto power and leadership of the military. Congress, not the executive or judicial branches, received the most extensive attention. The jurisdiction to make law was viewed as the most powerful tool a government body could have. So when you look at this and say, man, what happened? Well, what happened to the concept of the founding fathers and their vision for Congress? Speaker Paul Ryan, he visited with Trump, right, on a regular basis about congressional issues. He openly criticized Trump during the campaign, declared what, after the 2016 election, that Republicans needed to hit the ground running as we join forces with the new Trump administration. That whole concept of Congress gaining the favor of the sitting president, that's diametrically opposed to what the founders' view of the separation of powers was. I mean, today, overwhelming majorities of lawmakers on both sides, by the way, they yield all the time their constitutional powers. To do what? Listen, this is the most important thing. This is why we don't trust them. This is why they don't work the way they should. Both sides of the aisle are more than happy to yield their constitutional powers to do what? Advance party interests at the expense of protecting the institution. So Congress is pretty much transformed from governing the people and debating, you know, constitutional issues, to bottom line, loyalty to their individual parties, special interest groups, or in sometimes both. And most of the time, those groups and lobbyists hold Congress at bay on issue after issue. The more controversial the subject, well, the less Congress acts. So don't look for anything coming out of this wall anytime soon. You know, got to stop this. We have to stop it. It's serving no one, absolutely no one. All right, Jeff in Gary, Indiana. Jeff, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. Hi.
Yes, sir. Wow. That was deep. Well, that was indeed deep, sir.
That's the blueprint for the way Congress is supposed to work.
No, you hit it right on the head. And you are one of the most intelligent people I've ever heard in my life. No, no, sir. You hit it right on the head.
I just hope everybody listening takes it to heart.
You know, it's not bipartisan anymore. There is no partisan. There is not one people anymore. It was supposed to be a government for the people, by the people, of the people. There is no government like that. Like you talked about Thomas Jefferson. Sir, you're absolutely right. You're awesome.
Well, first of all, Jeff, I appreciate the kind words, but remember, if you don't remember anything else in the show tonight, remember this. If Congress is not willing to take action on an issue that the electorate is clearly demanding, that's you and me, then what's left? A body that original framers of the Constitution would not recognize. Allegiance to partisan politics governed through corporate and individual greed. We, the people, are then left with no real representation. Period.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely, sir. And you know what? And we are supposed to be the speakers.
That's
but
right.
We indeed have, you know, everybody wants to put Trump down. Listen, and it was really my main call. And I called like hours ago, sir, and I'm sorry. I'm probably out of line here.
No, you're not out of line. You're fine.
I didn't mean, but because the original.
Okay, Jeff, I'm losing you. I don't know if you're on a cell phone, but I think I get the gist of what you're saying. We don't trust the media because we know they're heavily partisan, working hand in glove with the socialists that used to be the Democrats. We don't trust Congress for the very reasons I just outlined for you. And, you know, I might be off the rails a little bit here and there, but pretty much it's straight down the road. At the end of the day, what happened to your government? I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on top issues facing commercial drivers. You might be listening to this while safely parked at a truck stop. Or, unfortunately, you're still looking for a place to pull over for the night. If it's the latter, you are probably not alone. Parking ranks number 2 among critical issues for drivers in a 2018 American Transportation Research Institute poll. Searching for a spot elevates nerves, especially with adoption of the ELD mandate, as hours of service violations possibly come into play. If you're in a region where parking is a problem, Consider using a mobile app that can help you find, or if necessary, reserve safe parking for the night. Your safety and the security of your cargo are important. Planning ahead helps assure that you and your cargo arrive safely. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates, Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. And that's what they strive for all the time. Welcome, Red Eye Radio, all across the country. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Always a pleasure to be with you. Let's go to Raj. Raj in Virginia. Raj, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Thank you so much, Sir Richard of the Lionheart. You have done some very courageous things. You've spoken the truth from a depth of knowledge of our Constitution, of what the Founding Fathers meant. And I tell you from the bottom of my heart how deeply I appreciate that and would like for you to expand on some of these things, which I'll just lay out very briefly.
Sure.
First, what is it? There is no legal impediment or anything. There's no congressional control which they can exercise for our president to issue a national proclamation. All illegal people here are persona non grata with immediate effect. Their bank accounts are to be frozen. And they have to self-report. They could, they're hiding in the shadows. Give them 30 days to reveal where they are and how they are. If they don't reveal within 30 days, penalties. After 30 days, give them another 30 days to wind up and self-repatriate at their own expense. If they stay over that, again, heavy penalties from their accounts which have been frozen. They will pay for it. And when we repatriate them, have their governments also, and Mexico is paying for them, because all these are sending back thousands, millions of dollars back to the home countries.
Well, actually, the amount of money going to Mexico, this is not a one-time thing. Every year, $24 billion is sent back to the country of Mexico by Mexican nationals working here. The problem is most of them do not have bank accounts. But the provision of the Patriot Act, section, I think it's 326, Know Your Customer provision, would compel financial institutions like Wells Fargo, before they could ever do anything as far as the financial transaction. And that's how the money gets there. That particular section would have to be authorized, adhered to, or guess what? No money goes from here to Mexico. And, you know, I'm not a math whiz, but, you know, Mexico looks at this. On one hand, I pay $5 billion for a down payment on a wall. On the other hand, I lose $24 billion a year. I don't even need a calculator to make that decision.
And in fact, we recall that many of the leading contenders for the nomination for president, they all said this. Senator Ted Cruz said that. At that time, even Mr. Donald Trump said similar things.
No, well, you know, it all started with the Gang of Eight. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Gang of Eight.
That's what I want to...
Well, that's really, I mean, in the interest of time, The Gang of Eight, it's a colloquial term for, I think it was four Democrats, four Republicans, that were supposed to be acting in a bipartisan way. they wrote the first draft of the border security, economic opportunity, immigration, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember. It was back in 2013 or 14, I think. The group was also instrumental in bringing comprehensive immigration reform back to the legislative branch in early 2013. What happened to that? We keep talking about, well, we need comprehensive immigration reform. Well, what was the Gang of Eight for? Four Democrats, four Republicans. You were supposed to come up with that. I'll give it to you again. No political will. No political will. This is Rick Roberts, and this is Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so very much. I want to remind you, this hour is for Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently. Well, that's Freightliner's number one goal. Let me give you the lines. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Let's go to Rick in Kansas City. I was there for a while at KCMO. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. And yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I want to agree with you. Going back to the founding fathers, I believe it was Franklin that said that no democracy can survive once the electorate finds it can vote itself a raise. And also, I believe it was Jefferson that said every democracy to survive must shed a little blood occasionally. And I think we're about at that point.
Oh, I think we're past that point. I truly believe that.
I do, too. I mean, they knew it back then. And here it is right in our face.
You know, it's one of those things, by the way, that I'm not exactly sure. The Alexander Tyler from Scotland, I'll read that for you, but also Franklin Roosevelt. No democracy can long survive which does not accept as a fundamental to its very existence the recognition of the rights of minorities. You know, he was talking about that, and then he made another Alexander Fraser Tytler followed it up on, you know, how long do we have left? Democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the majority finds out it can vote itself large gifts out of the public treasury. After that, well, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefit, right?
That's it. That's where we're at. I mean, I tried to talk with my girlfriend's boyfriend, my daughter's boyfriend, just this evening, and mentioned that these two children that died in custody, you know, they were brought 2,000 miles by their parents walking. And in America, a parent lets a child walk two or three blocks home from a park, and the children are taken away from them for child abuse. Hello.
Yeah, well, you might follow up with your daughter's boyfriend. The Department of Homeland Security in the last 24, might have been 48 hours, has called in the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, because lots of people are sick and ailing. They can't pinpoint what it is. A lot of children are sick and they're ill, you know, and they're trying to get the medical help. I'm sorry. this is not our fault. If you watch CNN and MSNBC, you would swear that Trump went down there and did something nefarious to make everybody sick. I mean, that's absurd.
I know, and I gave up on him tonight because he cannot make an intelligent argument for what he believes. He started spouting that everybody at the border should be tried for war crimes and thrown in jail. Oh, man.
How old is he?
I'm not even going to talk to you.
How old is he?
Oh, about mid-20s.
Okay. Well, he ought to be old enough to grasp some basic fundamental truth.
Well, no, he's been brainwashed by the socialist. You know, I got no time for it.
Well, you got to, if I may disagree, you got to make time for it because these are the people that are going to be electing the next leaders. And that's what the Democratic Socialists they're counting on it. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to tell you the best way to look this up for his benefit. You might Google how long do we have left. That democracy quote, the author is somewhat in question. The earliest known attribution of that quote, I think, was back in the 50s, early 50s, before I was born, in what appears to be an op-ed piece by the Daily Oklahoman under the byline, Elmer T. Peterson. It doesn't really matter. At least to me, it doesn't matter. The historical cycle seems to be from bondage to spiritual faith and so on. This quotation was actually by Henning W. Prentice Jr. The quotation sometimes appears joined with the above, most notably that part of the longer piece, which began circulating on the internet. If he's getting his information from the internet, about 60% of the internet, if not more, is wrong. But this is this is how it goes. A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply can't exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for candidates who promise the most benefit from the public treasury. With the result, what? The result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy. And that's always followed by a dictatorship. And again, I'm no world historian, but I can read. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been just over 200 years. During those 200 years, those nations always progressed through a sequence. That sequence from bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From great courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and then eventually from dependence back into bondage. Set him down and give him that and say, how do you explain that? Where are we right now? In American history, in American political history, where are we in that sequence? I would say we're in apathy going to dependence. And there's only one other sequence after that, dependence back into bondage. Some would argue we've already passed that point. This is not, I know it's New Year's coming up here in a few days and everybody's got New Year's resolutions. I try not to make them because just as sure as I do, I'll forget and then I get angry with myself. But I've got lots of New Year's resolutions for the federal government. A lot of them. And Trump, you got to support him. You got to support him until, and a lot of people won't say this, until somebody can come behind him and pick up the mantle of truth, the mantle of liberty, and the mantle of the American people first, political party second, you got to keep him for as long as you can. That means you got to vote again in 2020. the Democratic Socialists, they've already got it mapped out. You know, what do the Democrats want in 2020? Well, they want, first of all, they want a new candidate. They definitely don't want Hillary. Biden is, I think, number two. Believe it or not, Robert Francis O'Rourke, the Irish Hispanic, is number three. Hillary Clinton doesn't even, I think she's about 15% or so. But that's not really what bothers me. What bothers me is what they plan to do with this newfound power in the House. And Ocasio-Cortez, well, she's going to be the new speaker in the sense she's going to be the new point person. They've got expansion after expansion after expansion of federal government, more and more government programs going out to people to ensure their vote. They figured it out. They figured it out. The more we give to people, the more they'll stay with us. Somebody's got to pay for that, don't they? Somebody has to pay for that. They don't care. You know, floor votes. That'll put Democrats on record for multi-trillion dollar policies. Republicans, what's your plan? House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, he's the one that said, and I began with this, what he was viewing as far as Democrats was clear socialism. Clear socialism. And Republicans need to make the case for the great power of liberty and freedom. Well, some of the Democratic Party's agenda is, like I said, going to be spearheaded by Nancy Pelosi. They've already got a campaign platform. It's called A Better Deal. A better deal for whom? The set of proposals claims nearly every item could be paid for. How do they plan on paying for it? They want to roll back Trump's tax cuts. That's how. They say just about everything could be paid for if we just simply rolled back the Trump tax cuts. The most liberal bills that have come out of Congressional Progressive Caucus has been based on what? We take power and roll back. You like that tax cut? No, I'm sorry. I got to take it back. Now, how about Medicare for All? According to some estimates, that could cost $33 trillion over 10 years. And that Medicare for All, that's just one component of this huge Green New Deal thing. I'm sorry, man. I am very near to taking the first boat off this rock if we don't get this thing under control. What would you tell? I mean, I don't think you can tell the Democrat Socialist anything. But if you had the ear of the Republicans, and first and foremost, stop playing the American people, stop with the political theater and expecting us to pay for it, what would be your suggestion to the Republicans to bring back liberty, bring back freedom, bring back, I don't know how you do it, to be quite honest, because, you know, people are all in on this tuition-free college, federally funded education systems, guaranteed jobs, blah, 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 blah. How do you turn that around? Is it even possible? 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. And once again, this hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently. Well, that's Freightliner's number one goal. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently, is Freightliner's number one goal. This is Rick Roberts in for the guys when they're away. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? Isn't it frustrating to see this once mighty nation be brought to its knees by what? By what? Welfare. Man, I'm using that in the broad sense. You don't have to vet the candidates. You don't have to do any heavy lifting. Vote for us. We're going to give you this. We're going to give, you know, this is exactly the same play they used on the African-American community. You know, for a half century, the Democrats got the black vote almost in its entirety. Why? Because they told them, if you vote for a Republican, you're going to end up back in shackles. You know, if you vote for us, we're going to help you. If you vote for us, we're going to put businesses in the inner city. If you vote for us, what did they get out of it? A minimum wage raise. For what? There's no businesses where they live. And abortion on demand. That was it. And finally, the black community said, you know what? I've been voting for you for 50 years. Now, other generations of blacks are looking at us like we're idiots. Why do you keep voting for the same people that promise something and never come through? Well, the Democrat socialists have figured it out. Free education, free Medicare for everybody, free jobs, guaranteed income. In other words, the spirit of America doesn't exist anymore as far as they're concerned. The only way you can survive in this country is by depending on government. This is John. John in Chicago. John, thank you for waiting. Hi.
We're done. Put a fork in us. I give it two generations tops. People don't want freedom anymore. They don't want liberty. You know, in one aspect, you got to tip your hat to them, okay? It took them 100 years, but they did a great job. They integrated the school systems, the college systems. You got generations coming up. They don't even want liberty. There's no such thing as liberty. Even middle-aged old people, nobody, you know why they don't want liberty? It means personal accountability. Nobody wants that anymore. It's better to pass the buck. So it's sad, but it's done. It's over.
John from Chicago says Americans don't want liberty anymore. They don't want freedom anymore. Is that true? 866-90-RED-EYE. 866-907-3339. Rick Roberts with you on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And all across America, it is Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts with you. Always a pleasure to be in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley when they're away. If you want to check out my show during the week, that's pretty easy. Simply go to News Talk 820 WBAP or go to WBAP.com out of Dallas. I do the afternoon drive Monday through Friday from 2 to 5 Central Time. Love to have you join us if you get a chance. Also, something else. If you're looking for a list of stations or podcasts, or you want to listen to the live full 5-hour show on Red Eye Radio on the app or the Listen Live button, just go to redeyeradioshow.com. I'll give it to you again, redeyeradioshow.com. You know, I had a caller just a moment ago from Chicago, and he said that people don't care about liberty anymore. That's just stuff people say. They don't care about freedom anymore. They don't care about liberty. You know, I bet in the first 10 years I was in this business, I never even heard anyone say that. In the last several years, I've heard it a dozen times. I mean, that runs counter to everything this country was founded upon. You know, we took God out of schools in what, 62, 63, created a vacuum, which was filled by what? The government. Now, that was the plan all along. Everybody wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. That's human nature. Well, the government wasn't going to compete with God, so the best thing to do is get God out of the way. And then you become beholden to somebody that doesn't necessarily have your best interest in mind all the time, which is government. So you give them power that they do not deserve. You know, as I look at the Democrats eyeing the 2020 election, you know, if they get a hold of the White House, you can forget it. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not trying to be sensational or a shock jock or any of the rest. If the Democrats get a hold of the White House in 2020, it's all over but the shouting, as we say in the South. Free this, free that. Somebody's going to pay for it, probably on the backs of working men and women that won't give up. You know, the spirit, you remember when Hillary Clinton commissioned that country western song? Yeah, I saw it. It was just, you know, if you go out to my truck, I've got B.B. King, I've got Alan Jackson, I've got everything. This was the worst country song ever played on the radio. And why'd she do it? She didn't care about country music. She didn't care about the people. But her polling data showed that she didn't do well in the flyover states with blue-collar workers. Well, that makes sense. She didn't care about the flyover states. See, what most of us know in the flyover states, that's the glue that holds the country together. The East and West Coast, that's residual. Is it true that people no longer care about freedom and liberty? Man, I hope that's not the case. Let's go to Rhonda in Chicago. Rhonda, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Thank you. I want to bring up something that's also very concerning. I've met people in California. I assume that most of them are from south of the border. I'm not sure, but I think so. Whose children live here. They live here. They've gone to universities. They have jobs. They claim that they haven't applied for the citizenship, even though they lived here many years, because they consider themselves citizens of North America.
Okay.
I'd like to mention just the three issues quickly, and because I know you have a lot of people waiting. The other is tonight in the news, there was a young couple that are working around the clock. They hardly see one another. They have only one child. Neither one of them are sick. They had normal childbirth and everything. The medical system is so hard on them, and that they have to just pay off their debts just for the birth of their child and just for normal sicknesses during the year. They have just a minimal amount to live on, even though they make over $100,000, and nobody out there paying anything for them.
Well, I would assume, I didn't hear the story, but, you know, based on what you said, that sounds like the American medical system. You know, I've often thought, Rhonda, what Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke and many others, Cortez and the rest, they'd love to have open borders. Now, think about that for a second, open borders. I mean, we could be one contiguous nation, I guess. Because honestly, and don't laugh, but it was on the White House website for years and years until a lot of us started pointing it out. It was a very laborious read, but you could get it. You know, there was talk of basically erasing our southern and northern border, homogenizing, if you will, Canada, U.S., and Mexico. Same currency, free flow of goods and people across the borders. And a lot of people thought that made sense. And that goes back about four or five presidencies, maybe further than that. You know, and as I thought about that, well, you give up your sovereignty, right? You would have given your sovereignty up with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Thank God Trump got us out of that. But as I started thinking about it, look, you know, if my kids were starving and I was living in a corrupt country, that left people to live in abject poverty, I'd probably be trying to put a sandwich on the table by, you know, getting into somebody's else's country as well. You know, but I just wonder what else is going on at the government level besides illegal immigration. It's all we're talking about. The border wall is all we're talking about. And I suppose I'm a cynic to some degree, but I always believe in that divert and deflect. Government is very good at that. You know, I believe people truly care about liberty. I believe they truly care about freedom. I believe they truly care about representation. If I'm wrong, maybe I'm the last guy at the party to figure that out, but I truly believe that. Rhonda, very good call. I appreciate it. Jim in Knoxville, Tennessee. Jim, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Evening. Evening, Rick. You know, this country was founded on the principles of liberty and freedom. Freedom to worship God, not some religious leader who's dead, but the God who created everything that is and holds it all together with his word. It's codified by men who believed in that God and who decided that it was worth signing away their lives and livelihoods to protect those rights. So when Lyndon Baines Johnson instituted his welfare program and then followed it up with the 501(c) program, it was sort of a 1-2 punch against that. He has actually sold America on the fact that maybe the government is the only one that can bring about that freedom and liberty that God had established through our Constitution. And then he shut the church up for whatever reason, for pennies, for next to nothing. In fact, the church ought to take the 501(c) and send it unceremoniously back to the government.
you know, the age-old question, did America have a Christian founding? You've got two schools of thought. One is absolutely, and the other one's of course not. You know, both of those philosophies kind of distort the founding fathers' views. After showing that Christian ideas were one of the most important intellectual influences on the founders, you have to discuss three major areas of agreement with respect to religious liberty and church-state relations. Was it a theocracy? No, it wasn't. It was never intended to be. But religious liberty is a right and must be protected. The national government should not create an established church. I'll give you that. They were trying to get away from that. The Church of England was not only their theology, it was also their government. They knew that didn't work. States should have them only if they encourage and assist Christianity, and religion belongs in the public square. In short, while America did not have a Christian founding in the sense of creating a theocracy, the founding fathers were deeply, deeply moved in what they created was shaped by Christian moral truth. More important, and all you have to do is read the writings of the founding fathers to know that, it created a regime that was, hey, look, it was open to Christians, but also to practitioners of other religions. You don't get that with radical Islam. You know, that's the only supposed theology that does not accept any other religion. I don't view Islam as a religion anyway. I view it as a ideology. And I know I get in trouble every time I say that, but that's what I believe. You know, the role of religion in the American Republic has been a source of controversy since the inception of this country. You know, those debates get really fierce when they concern religious liberty and the proper relationship between the church and the state. Did America have a Christian founding? Well, you can't say yes, in as much as they did not create a theocracy. But you have to say, hey, it shaped the founders and influenced them, the Christian ideas. And there are many ways in which the founders' views might inform, well, contemporary political and legal controversies. I mean, at the end of the day, if you have your kid in a public school, get him out. And I know if you're a teacher out there, you're probably cursing me right now. It's not an indictment on you. I don't want my kid being the white rat for any government agenda that comes down the pike, whether it's Common Core or outcome-based education or any of those nonsensical things. Because you have to realize one thing. The government doesn't want critical thinkers. They don't want any pushback. You know, if they do as I say, not as I do. That's what they want. I don't want my kid being the recipient of that. It's not the teacher's fault. They have to teach the curriculum they're given. Does that make sense? I hope so. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
For Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, I'm Rick Roberts. Glad you're along. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. I do afternoons, afternoon drive, 2 to 5 Central Time for News Talk 820 WBAP in Dallas. But, man, whenever I get a chance to come over to Red Eye, I do it every single time. I enjoy the show. I enjoy talking to you. So, hey. I'm going to be with you for a couple more days. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. This is Eric in Illinois. Eric, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Eric?
Yes, thank you, Rick. Just a quick comment, and then you can give me your opinion. Last week, President Xi of China talked for 1 hour, and I saw it live on one of those government channels. And I forced myself to sit through it for the whole 1 hour, boring as it was. But I noticed four things I wrote down as I watched. He never mentioned God in any way, religion in any way, the United States, or freedom. All he was concerned with was these two things, his government and the people of China. And my final feeling was that it was just really scary how determined they are to take over the world, you know, in a mild way. They kept talking about peace, but you know darn well with all their military and what they're doing with the space program, that their goal is to control everything. Did you listen to the speech, as boring as it was?
No, I did not. I could say, oh, yeah, but I didn't. I've listened to Xi before, and, okay. You know, quite honestly, as as dictators go, and that's what I call him, he's pretty ambivalent. I mean, he comes across, you know, pretty, you know, I'm just here talking to you about this. You know, it's not that fist on the table pounding out, you know, it's my way. Mm-hmm. He's not like that. So, which is a switch for China, by the way. And I think that's why a lot of people do not look at him. I think he's very, very dangerous. I think his ideology is as bad or as dangerous as anyone that came before him. He just has a different way of approaching it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It was scary, but I forced myself. It was boring as it was. It was amazing. And they kept showing the crowd, and 90% or 95% of the men had dyed black hair.
Yeah.
It was really weird compared to America, where American men let their hair go gray, but these guys were like my age in their 60s and 70s, and they had pitch black hair, just like Xi, who's exactly my age, 65, pitch black hair.
Well, you have to understand, you know, it's a different culture, obviously, but there are even subcultures, and there is no individualism in China, or not like we know it here. Individualism is a bad thing to them in their culture. You know, being able to be part of the group, a functioning part of the group, that's really, really what the government is looking for. They're not looking for critical thinkers. They're not looking for individualists. They're not looking for, you know, entrepreneurs. They're not looking, it's like a machine. And every person is a cog, one small cog in the wheel. And that's, you know, that's what they strive for. And if that sounds familiar, that's exactly what some of the democratic socialists are doing here. They don't want critical thinkers. They don't want individualists. They don't want entrepreneurs. They want everybody to stand in line and wait for their talking points and their marching orders from the government. I don't want that. I'm pretty sure most Americans don't. Very good call, Eric. And kudos for putting up with that. I mean, that must not have been easy. Lee in Raleigh, North Carolina. Lee, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. How you doing, Lee?
Okay, Rick. Eric and Gary ought to be feared for their job. You're doing such a good job.
Oh, no. They're great guys.
This was last week, about last Wednesday. I think it was last Thursday when Schumer, Pelosi, and Trump were together. Mm-hmm. And they were chatting about...
In the White House.
Of course, Trump kept on asking about the funding for the border wall. Schumer had his head in his hands. Trump was talking to Pelosi, and I forget what the question was, but Pelosi said, not in public. We can't speak about this in public.
Exactly. And that's her whole thing. She said something to the, we don't want to do this in public in front of the cameras. We can do this. We can do this later behind closed doors. What are you hiding, Nancy? Now your national forecast, brought to you by Omnitrax.
A powerful storm system has moved into the southwest after bringing notably colder temperatures to much of the west. Heavy snow and strong winds over the next day or two expected from the central plains northeast to the upper Great Lakes region. This will result in hazardous travel conditions over a widespread area with significant impacts to road and air travel. Snowfall amounts are likely to exceed 1 foot from areas of northern Nebraska through central and eastern South Dakota by Thursday night. The same storm system is now bringing heavy rain, damaging winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes to parts of the southern plains and lower Mississippi Valley. Temperatures across much of the Midwest will rise to as much as 15 to 25 degrees above normal, and the remainder of the country should be rather quiet and dry, but possible severe weather could hit the eastern U.S. by the end of the week. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Christopher, thank you so much. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I want to get right to your calls. Let's go to Paul in Denver, Colorado. Paul, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Paul?
I'm pulling over. Can you hear me?
I've got you fine. Thank you.
All right. I think Trump has already won the 2020 election unless the Democrats wise up. Because what's happened now since the Republicans voted for a wall in the House? And everyone can assume they would have in the Senate and stuff. The Dems are now going to have voted against protecting the country. And anything that happens in the next 2 years that they can be saddled with, like the fool who was murdering a girl 24 hours after San Francisco turned him loose on the Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco.
Right, yeah.
We're going to have 2 years of this kind of people doing stuff that's going to be available for news stories or for ads come the 2020 election. And you will either have voted to protect the country or you as a lawmaker will have not voted to protect the country.
Yeah, I see what
you're saying. The list goes one way or the other.
No, I see what you're saying, Paul. But that has never, ever concerned Democratic leadership before. I mean, even with everything that's come before this particular point in time, they still don't want a wall. It's ineffective. It won't work.
I think that's one of the things that cost them 2016 was that killing in Frisco. I don't know how many other things were like it, but they are newsworthy. They are specific, and you didn't vote to stop it. What they've essentially done by not voting for security is, well, nobody's going to come across that border that's going to bother or embarrass me. You really think that, huh? All these people that you're telling to come here knowing that they are starving at home, None of them is going to embarrass the Democrats by doing criminal things now that the Democrats have voted on their side. I mean, if Trump had given Mexico the $8 million, instead of just taking it and diverted it to do the wall, for instance.
Right.
Whatever, the result would be, which way do you want to vote, folks? Have you gotten tired of it? And I'll tell you something else. Colorado is going to be one of the leaders. Colorado has a funny situation about alcohol, gas, ethanol, and 91 octane.
Right.
You can buy it in Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas. They all just have a pump selling what you want to buy as a free American. In Colorado, there were half a dozen places I like to go because I drive for a living. And at least one of them was gone on Christmas Day, and the Democrats aren't officially even in power yet.
Well, I don't know. I lived in Evergreen for almost 15 years. The People's Republic of Boulder is pretty close, about as close as you can get. But, I see what you're saying, and I understand it. But, if truth were the barometer, I'm trying to think this through as you make your statements. If truth were the barometer, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. What was the statement that was made by, I've forgotten. It was made yesterday, day before. The only reason Trump turned around was for talk radio host and TV. I mean, what five-year-old would believe that? I just don't believe truth is necessarily in the vocabulary for the power-driven Democrats looking at 2020. I just don't think it's there. They conveniently forget every time that they've said Pelosi, Schumer, Hillary Clinton, even Barack Obama. We've got them on tape. They were saying 9 years ago exactly the same thing that President Trump is saying now, which only goes to show you Democratic leadership, they think you're an idiot, a useful idiot because you pay for all their agendas, but they think you're an idiot. They don't think you can put two and two together and more often than not come up with four. Listen, be very, very careful out there driving. It gets nasty up around the Continental Divide. I don't know if you're going that way or not. I appreciate the call very, very much. David in Virginia. David, thank you for waiting. How you doing, David?
Pretty good, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I'd like to compliment you, Mr. Roberts, on your style. It reminds me of Paul Harvey, the way you comment. Just a compliment. As far as our liberty, I think we've sold out. I think we've sold out to the false sense of security, giving our liberties away to the government. And that's my opinion. I think we have. And, Ronald Reagan once said, I've got to say it, here in the United States, we are a people that has a government, not the other way around.
Okay, if I may, David, can you give me a couple examples where Americans have sold out their liberty for security?
A false sense of security, sir.
Well, yes, I agree, but what is it? Because I've had this conversation many, many times, but I've yet to get a good, solid example of what we've sold out or what we've lost to get that perceived security.
That's an incredible question. I mean, my opinion is that, like no other nation on earth, we have a government. And they don't have us. And what bothers me the most is we're relying on government completely, every aspect of our lives. And as we do that, as Paul Harvey, put it in his broadcast, explains how the government got bigger and the citizens got smaller, and his Freedom to Change broadcast. Well, like we're like no other nation on earth. We the people have a government here
Well, I'm not exactly sure if we have a government. There is a what the founding fathers called a general government. We call it a federal government that is operating way beyond the constraints of the founding fathers. You know, two circles of protection were set up by the founding fathers. The one with the least amount of power in scope of authority was the federal government. You know, they pretty much gave everything in the circle of power to the states. They were designed so that if one became too egregious, too overreaching, too demonstrative, the citizens would find solace and comfort from the other one. And, you know, it's not that way anymore. So, you know, at the end of the day, again, I don't know what, let's use guns for an example. I've got lots of them. And my whole philosophy is the less you know about them and where they are, the better. But I like guns. I've always collected guns. I've never shot it, shot another person. I grew up with guns. When I was in high school, you know, every truck parked in the parking lot, had a varmint gun or a shotgun or something, in it, and the windows rolled down because it was hot. Nobody ever got shot. Because it was consequence for action, there was shame, which is not always a bad thing. I don't know what liberties necessarily I have personally given away for a false sense of security. I can't think of anything. I'm sure there's some national laws and state laws that have been enacted that, you know, you could make the argument, well, you know, that was your liberty and you gave it away for a sense of security. I've yet to get a solid example of what that might be. I appreciate the call very, very much. Let's go to Harold, North Hollywood, California. Harold, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Harold?
You're welcome. I got to ask you a question. If the wall was so important to the American people and to Donald Trump, how did the Dems pick up 40 or more seats in the House?
Okay, say that again. Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not. I'll speak a little louder.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
If the wall is so important to the American people, how do the Democrats pick up 40 seats in the House of Representatives?
I don't, you know, that's a good question, but I don't think the wall played an integral part of those seats being picked up. I just don't. I think the promise of free education, the promise of Medicare for all, the same thing that they're going to go into 2020 with, I think that's what picked it up for them. I think, and I said this yesterday, and I think it's true, or a truism, I think people's hatred for Trump outweighs their love and concern for the country. And I think that's exactly what happened in the midterms.
Wasn't Mexico supposed to pay for the wall, Rick?
Yeah, I've got a list right here. I read it yesterday. Did you not hear it?
Well, I didn't hear you, but wasn't that a lie to the American public?
Harold, can you hear me okay? Harold, can you hear me?
Yes, Richard.
Okay, did you expect the president of Mexico to get on his private jet, fly to D.C., open his checkbook, and write a check for the wall?
That's not the question I asked you.
No, I'm saying, is that how you expected?
You don't have to get out. You can transfer money. You know that, Rick.
Let me tell you how they're going to pay for the wall. You know, life wouldn't be complete without a Hollywood liberal. The provision of the Patriot Act 326, the Know Your Customer provision. All right, $24 billion. That's $24 billion. Dollars a year flows from the U.S. to Mexico by Mexican nationals working here. All right? $24 billion. I don't think you need a calculator to figure out, okay, I got to come up with $5 billion or lose $24 billion. On day one, you basically take the proposed rule regulation amending 31 CFR 130 to redefine financial institutions to include money transfer companies like Western Union, redefine account to include wire transfers. You also include the proposed rule, a requirement that no alien may wire money outside of the U.S. unless the alien first provides a document establishing his lawful presence. That cuts off your $24 billion in a heartbeat. And day two, Mexico's immediately going to protest because, like I said, they get $24 billion a year from Mexican nationals working in the U.S. The majority of that amount comes from illegal aliens. Basically, you have to understand the process here. It serves as a de facto welfare for poor families in Mexico. They don't have a safety net like we do here. On day three, you tell Mexico that if Mexican government will contribute the funds needed for the U.S. to start the wall, the Trump administration will not start the final rule, and the regulation won't go into effect. So there you go. You're $24 billion safe and sound. Trade tariffs, or enforcing the existing trade rules, there's no doubt that Mexico's engaging in unfair subsidy behavior. All you have to do is jump on that. Canceling visas. Immigration is a privilege, not a right. Mexico's totally dependent on the U.S. as a release valve for its own poverty. Our approval of hundreds of thousands of visas to their nationals every year, it's one of our greatest leverage points. Visa fees. Even a teeny tiny small increase in visa fees would pay for the wall. I mean, I could go on, but I don't think anyone thought that Mexico's president, okay, let me, can I send you a personal check? Would that be okay, or do you need certified funds? This is what Trump was talking about when he said Mexico would be compelled to pay for the wall. That's exactly what he's talking about. I don't know anybody that thought otherwise. Do you? This is Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Carley. Glad to be along. Glad you're along. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's the toll-free line. 866-907-3339. By the way, did you hear about this in a press briefing in the Oval Office on Christmas Day? Trump said, I mean, he's really putting it in the Democrats' face. He said he planned to go to the southern border at the end of January to celebrate what he calls the construction of his proposed Great Wall. He says he wants to hold a groundbreaking style ceremony at the end of January to celebrate the construction of the fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. Nancy Pelosi's got her interns working hard, even as I speak. Let's go to Timothy in Arizona. Timothy, thank you for waiting. How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. I thank God for this opportunity for you to give us this opportunity to speak our mind about our government.
Well, I tell you what, my bad. I was doing something else, not watching the clock. Timothy, if you will hang on, I'll get your comment in just a second. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.